God is. He's my protection. God is. He's my all and all. God is my guide and my direction. God, my God is, he's my all in all. Oh, God is my joy and sorrow. God, my God is, he's my all in all. God is my today and my tomorrow. God, my God is, he's my all and all.
God is the joy and the strength of my life.
He moves
all pain, misery, and strife.
I want to go with him
when he comes back.
Come too far,
and I never turn. Promise to keep me, never to leave, never ever come.
Yeah, I've got to fast and pray. to keep my life clean every day. I want to go with him when he comes back. I come too far and I never turn back. God is, God is, God is, oh God is, Jesus is. Jesus, he is God in
my
own. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, he is
God.
He is my
God is.
Jesus, he is. God is my all. Hey, oh, God is the joy. God is the joy. Never to leave, never
ever, ever, ever come.
Oh, I've got to fast and pray,
stay in the narrow way.
I've got to keep my life clean every day. I want to go away. He comes back, come too far, and I'm never. God is. God is.
God is.
God
is.
God
is.
Oh, oh, oh.
God is.
Jesus is.
Give the Lord a praise. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, if he's your all in all, if you realize that you can't do anything, you can't be anything, you can't have anything without the Lord Jehovah God on your side, you ought to just give him some praise right about now. Thank you, Lord, for being my all in all. If friends and family turn their back and walk away, God will still take care of you. Oh, come on now. There was a time, you know like I know, you should have lost your mind, but God kept you in your right mind in spite of your circumstances. And it ain't because we've been so good, so righteous, and so holy. When I was in my most ugly, filthy, raggedy sin, God still took care of me. Because somebody was praying. And God loved me enough to take care of me in spite of my sinful self. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is my all in all. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise, honor, and glory that you rightly deserve. not only on this Lord's Day, every day. Thank you, Lord, for making a way of escape from my sins, for looking past my faults, meeting my needs. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and loving us in Jesus' name. All they want to. Let them pray. Every once in a while, it ought to come upon somebody. The song says, as I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Oh yeah, I have a testimony. Matter of fact, I am the testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Praising can keep on. Ain't nothing wrong with praising the Lord. Because there's one thing I know for sure. Only two folks know if you for real with your praise. God knows and you know. So to God be the glory. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ushers, you all may be seated. Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to all the leadership of this church, to those who may be visiting with us, and certainly to this Roanoke-Salem church family. We thank God for being a good God and a gracious God. Even now, with as crazy as this world is, God is still in control, and God's will shall be done. Don't fool yourself. God's will is going to be done. You can be part of it or you can get left behind. But his will is going to be done. Amen. Let's go to the 27th Psalm. And we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. 27th Psalm, verses 13 and 14. I was so excited when I came to Sunday school this morning because the teaching and all was just, all of it was just confirmation of God's word on this morning. 27th Psalm. I'm going to read this from, let me read it from the New International first, because there's only two verses. I'm going to go back and read it in the King James. Psalm 27. And I said 27, I need to turn there because I'm on the wrong one. Psalm 27. This is what it says, verses 13 and 14 from the New International. It says, am I looking at the right thing? Yeah. It says, verse number 13 says, I am still confident. This is from the New International. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now, this is the one that most of us probably grew up hearing from the King James. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Church family, just for a few minutes, can we please reason together from this thought? God's blessing is worth the wait. God's blessing is worth the wait. A lot of sociologists say that today we live in a microwave society. In other words, most of us have become spoiled into believing that almost everything we want to happen has got to happen right now. As a society, and especially in this country, I believe I can say that honestly, we don't want to wait too long for anything anymore. We go to the gas station. We don't have to wait because we can swipe our credit card or our debit card right there at the pump and just keep it moving. If we go into a grocery store, we can go through the express checkout line, supposed to be 12 items or less. I see folk with cart full of stuff in that express line. I said, the devil is a liar, and you are too. But it's supposed to be the express checkout line, 12 items or less. We ain't got to wait in a long line. Or we can go to the self-checkout. Amen. Trying to save time. We don't have to stand in line and wait for the man or the woman to ring all our stuff up anymore. We don't have to do that. If we want to go to a movie or a concert, if we want to go to a play, most sporting events, we don't have to stand in line. We don't have to stand in line at that venue anymore. We can purchase our tickets online. And then because we already have our tickets, there's usually a special interest for people who have their tickets in advance, and we can just walk right on in. Don't be fooled now. Being impatient and not being willing to wait is not just a problem of young folks. Amen. Sometimes I see Granny and Grandpa huffing and puffing, making all kind of mean and ugly faces. And sometimes I heard Nana straight up cuss different times. Amen. I ain't lying, y'all. Y'all have too. I've heard Nana and Grandpa straight up cussing because of their impatience. Amen. So what I'm saying is that it's not just that it's young folks, it's seniors too. It seems to me that too many people in this world just don't want to be patient and wait. And that goes for us in the body of Christ too. Yeah, we're righteous, but some of us can be just as impatient as the unsaved folk. Y'all know that's right. If I asked a Christian to tell me what Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, the prisoner who became the prince of Egypt, the prime minister of Egypt, if I asked you to tell me what Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and King David, what all of them have in common, I'd probably get a lot of different answers. But how many of y'all would think about it for a couple of seconds and say, you know what, here's what they all had in common. All these men and this woman, they all had to wait for Jehovah God to perform a positive, life-changing blessing in their lives. All of them that I just named, there's some others too. Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, they all had to wait for the Lord to do something to fulfill a promise that he made for them. I want to share with us this morning, and it's real simple. Whether we are saved or unsaved, God is in control of time, so we might as well learn that until he makes a change in our situation, we got to wait. Amen. God's in control of your time. Don't think you and I are not in control of nothing. And as you all have heard me say about my aunt from Kinston, we ain't in control of nary thing, nothing at all. God is in control, and so we might as well learn to just be patient and wait until he decides to make a change. Psalm 27, that 13th verse from the NIV, it says, I am still confident of this. What am I confident of? That I will see. It's gonna happen. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May I suggest to us that the psalmist was in a difficult place in his life right about now when he wrote this. Amen. Amen. And he needs for God to make a change, but it hasn't happened yet. But instead of giving up, the psalmist is confident that if he can just hold on a little while longer, somehow, some way, God is going to fix his situation. Amen. The psalmist is confident because God has a track record of delivering his goodness right on time. Does God have a track record with you? Do you have a track? Do you have a history with the Lord that you can share with somebody that he didn't come when I wanted him to, but when he showed up, he was right on time? Amen. That's why this psalmist wrote this psalm, because he was confident that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Why? Because God has a history and a track record of showing up right on time. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can have the same confidence as this psalmist. We should be able to look back over our lives and remember all those times when Jesus somehow made a way out of no way. And no matter what we may be facing right now, we should still expect to see the goodness, that's his blessing, of the Lord in the land of the living. What does that mean? The land of the living means that God's going to bless you while you still have life on this side of eternity. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 41 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and they won't faint. So we have confidence that we're going to see the goodness, the blessing of the Lord on this side of eternity. And God's blessing is worth the wait. The first part of Psalm 27, verse 14, let's move on to that. It says, wait on the Lord. That is a declaration of an undisputable fact that at some point in time, we will find ourselves in a season of waiting. That's a declaration. He didn't say you might have to wait on the Lord. He said, wait on the Lord. He's declaring to all of us that at some point in time in our lives, we're going to be in a season of waiting. We're waiting on God to make a move, to turn things around, to make something positive changes in our lives. And let me say this to us. We can't pray God in the moving before he gets ready. We can't cry God in the moving before he gets ready. This is going to mess some people up. We can't praise God into moving before he gets ready. We can't tithe enough to make God move before he gets ready. God will move when he is ready to make it happen. Amen. Here's the good news. If we have the right attitude while we wait, God will give us whatever we need while we wait for his blessing. And God's blessing is worth the wait. I know I got one witness in here because I'm sitting here looking at him. Corey will tell you, while you're waiting with expectancy to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, he will give you what you need to help you wait on him. That's what I love about my Jesus. Look, let's look back at verse number 14. The rest of that verse says, be of good courage. That's got to be important because we find those same words, be of good courage, in 1 Chronicles 22 and 13. We find those words in Deuteronomy 3 and 16. And check this out. God said these words himself to Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, verse number 6. After Moses died and God appointed Joshua to lead the Hebrew people into the promised land. What does it mean, church family, to be of good courage? I looked at several Bible commentaries and they generally all agree that when you say be of good courage, it means stand firm in your faith. In other words, we have to know that we know that we know that we can lean and depend on Jesus. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be just as not disrespectfully raw, but I'm going to be just as raw as I can when I say what I'm getting ready to say. You got to make up your mind sometimes. Either you believe it or you don't. I mean, really now, it just comes down to it sometimes. When things are really not what you think they ought to be, and you got all kinds of trouble in your life, and you feel the walls closing in, sometimes you just got to decide for yourself, either I believe it or I don't. People in the world call it the power of positive thinking. The Bible calls it faith because it's the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things that you haven't seen yet.
yeah, I know what the doctor said, but I know God is able. And I'm going to stand on that. How long are you going to stand on it? Till I can't stand on it no more. I might close my eyes tonight and I wake up in glory. Well, what does that mean? That means I got healed. That means I got healed. He can change it on this side, or if he says, no, not on this side, I'm going to change it on the other side. But I'm going to stand firm until I can't stand firm no more on this side of eternity. So either the church family, and this time in the history of the world, you've got to make up your mind where you stand on some things, because God knows we're being challenged on every side. But we got to make up our mind that we're going to stand firm. We're going to be of good courage. And we're going to lean and depend on Jesus. Be of good courage. Be confident that God will make the right positive change at exactly the right time. Remember this, Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God the Father, who has begun a good work in you and me, he will complete it when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. As long as we have a relationship with Jesus, and as long as we're living every day with our faith in him, doing our best to be obedient, whatever it is that God is doing in your life, he's going to keep on doing it until Jesus returns or until you leave here, whichever comes first. It's worth waiting for, because God's blessing is worth the wait. Then the next part of verse 14 says, and he, talking about God, shall strengthen your heart. As we wait on God, we might become discouraged. Amen. That's human nature. People understand that. God understands we get discouraged sometimes. First of all, the devil's going to mess with you. The devil's going to tell you it's a lie. It ain't true. It ain't going to happen. So you got to deal with that. Then people are going to be discouraging. Sometimes they don't mean, and people don't always mean you any bad wishes or anything, but some folk just negative. You know the person you can't talk to about certain things, because you already know before they open their face what's coming out their mouth. And it's going to be something pessimistic. It's going to be something negative. And that's somebody that you might be close to. So don't worry about that, though. That's all right. You know how some people are. People are going to be negative. And then listen, you've got to deal with your own thoughts. I got to deal with my own doubts sometimes. Sometimes my flesh will make me be like Job and say, Lord, how long? How long, Jesus? Haven't I gone through this enough? Haven't I been persecuted enough? Haven't I suffered enough? Haven't I repented enough? Haven't I fasted and prayed enough, Lord? How long, Lord? Sometimes you got to deal with your own flesh when it comes to discouragement. But if you get discouraged, and while you're waiting, tell Jesus how you feel. And be for real about it. Don't tell him the Bible version. You tell Jesus if you're mad. You tell Jesus if you're disgusted. You tell Jesus if you're frustrated. You tell Jesus if you want him to change it right then, even though he ain't going to listen, he ain't going to do it just because you say so. But be for real with the Lord on how you feel. And while we are waiting, he will then give us the help we need to wait on him a little while longer. Jesus will give us the strength we need to hold on and to hold out while we are waiting for our change to come. I know that's right, because Psalm 28 verse 7, and this is from the American Standard Version, it says, Jehovah is my strength and my shield. Listen to this. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Jehovah is my strength. Jesus is my strength and he's my shield. I trusted in him and I got help. Amen. Here's the rest of it. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. Maybe my change won't come till sometime next year. Maybe my change will come next week. Maybe my change will come today. I don't know when my change will come, but while I'm waiting, I'm going to stand firm in my faith, and I'm going to be encouraged in my heart. No matter how long I have to wait, God's blessing is worth the wait. Let me share three scriptures about how we should conduct ourselves, what we should do while we're waiting, and then I'm going to be finished. While we're waiting on God's blessing, number one, we should trust God. While we're waiting on God's blessing, for him to make that change, we should keep on trusting him. Y'all know the scripture I'm going to say. Y'all can repeat it just like I can. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. That's 3, 5 through 6. Now, here's verse 7. It says, be not, how does it go? It says, don't get caught up into thinking that you know more than you should. It says, then turn from evil, and that's how our God will bless you. Amen. It says, don't you get caught up in doing evil. You got to turn from evil, but then God will bless you. The second thing we need to do while we're waiting, delight in God. Delight in God. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall do what? Give you the desires of your heart. What does it mean to delight in God? That means to find pleasure in the things of God. To find pleasure in living godly life. To find pleasure in being holy. Doesn't mean you're going to be a perfect person and that you'll get it all right. But it means that you have a conscious intention. As you've heard me say, church family, you've got a do right mind. You know what's right and you want to do what's right. And you have a determination. And the things of God, you find them to be delightful. So delight yourself in the Lord. Meditate with God. Talk to God. You listen to good gospel music that you may like on the radio. You know, watch some people on TV that you trust that when they preach to you and teach you, they're preaching and teaching from the word of God. Have fellowship with folks who are believers in Christ. They don't all have to always be from Roanoke Salem. They could be from other churches too, but delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Number three, final thing, commit to the Lord or commit to God. Let me say it that way. Number three, commit to God. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, God, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. You got to commit yourself to God. How do you do it? Just like the psalmist wrote of Psalm 143. Ask the Lord to teach you to do his will, and then he will lead you in the land of uprightness. As I close, I want to say to us that no matter what kind of blessing, what kind of positive change we may need right now, be patient, be encouraged, and keep waiting on God. God's blessing is worth the wait. And one more time, very quickly, while we're waiting, three things we should have in our minds. We're going to trust God, we're going to delight in God, and we're going to commit to God. While we're waiting, if you need God to whatever it is, God's blessing is going to be worth the wait. You need God to change your situation in your home. Keep waiting. Stand firm. His blessing is worth the wait. You need a financial blessing, whatever it may be. Keep a positive attitude. Keep saying the bank said no, but God has all the money that's in the bank. So I'm going to keep believing that God's going to make a way out of no way. And God's blessing will be worth the wait. You need a change in your attitude. I'm a negative person. I'm a pessimistic person. I'm a doubtful person. I'm a scared person, talking to Edwin now. But stand firm in your faith in the Lord. And God's blessing will be worth the wait. You need a change on the job. Maybe you need a job. You need something's going on in your school, Shamar. Maybe somebody at school is trying to bully you, Daria. What? Stand firm in your faith. Go tell the principal, go tell the right folks. But your trust and dependence is on what God will do. He might use that person to make the change, but your confidence is in the Lord. Whatever it is you stand in need of, you stand firm, be of good courage. God will strengthen your heart because his blessing is worth the wait. And let me tell you, I can tell you right now, God is able. God is able. The Lord Jesus is able to do what we need him to do, because there was a time that we needed something from the Lord and we didn't even know we needed it. And a blessing came our way. And that blessing was worth the wait. What was it? It was our salvation. It's the reason that all of us who have asked the Lord Jesus to be our personal Savior, it's the reason that when we die, even if it's right now, I know I'm going to heaven, because God made a way for my soul to be saved. And that blessing was worth the wait. How did he do that? He did that when he let them take him to Pilate's judgment hall, falsely accuse him of things he didn't do. But he was thinking about all of us. There was a blessing he needed to get to us. What else happened to Jesus? Then Jesus let him take him outside, beat him within an inch of his life, beat his back raw, beat him so we could see the bones on his backside coming through his skin that was flailed. But he had a blessing that he wanted to give to all of us. Yeah, so that's why he took that brutal beating. Then he carried a 300-pound cross up a hill almost by himself. Said a man came along and helped him a little bit along the way, but Jesus did most of the heavy lifting. Ain't that just like Jesus? Jesus even now does the heavy lifting in my life. He does the heavy lifting in your life, and most of the time we don't even recognize it. And Jesus is doing all the heavy lifting. He did all that because there was a blessing he needed to get to us, Brian. We couldn't have gotten it any other way. He let them nail him to a cross. He let them hang him high and stretch him wide. He let them do that because there was a blessing that he wanted to get to all of us. Not only that, he let them pierce him in his side so that his blood would come out and wash away the stains of our sin. But that won't the blessing. That won't all of it. He let them put him in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says he stayed there Friday, stayed there Saturday. But early on Sunday morning, Jesus got up and we got that blessing. We got the blessing of our souls being saved. We got the blessing of peace when we shouldn't have peace. We got the blessing of joy when we shouldn't have joy. We got the blessing of uncommon favor. Folks that don't even know us or do stuff for us just because we got the favor of God on our side. We got the blessing that when we walk in a room, our presence by itself will change the whole atmosphere. We got the blessing of folk being able to look at us and see Jesus and decide they want to know Jesus for themselves. We got the blessing of being children of the living God. And that blessing was worth the wait. Give God some glory. It was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. You've got that blessing right now on your life. And it was worth the wait. I know that things sometimes in our personal lives and in our public lives, they get crazy. I know we get tired. I know we get discouraged. I know we get frustrated. I know we get angry. We get sad and depressed. We're human. We're human. You know what I love about Jesus, Daryl? He knows our human condition. He knows our condition. He knows how we can be. And he chooses not to cast us aside. He chooses to love us and wrap his arms around us even the more. When we will trust him. When we will say, God, I'm going to stop trying to depend on me. God, I'm not going to put my faith in some other person. I'm going to put my total confidence in you. And when we do that, then we receive all the blessings of the Lord. Heaven is still ahead of us. I'm talking about today, right now, blessings. To God be the glory. It was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. And let me say this, deacons, y'all come forward, please. Right now, as I get ready to open the doors of the church, but let me say this real quickly. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, I pray that this message in some small way has encouraged you to lean and depend on Jesus, to hold out and hold on a little while longer. Because if you'll do that, church family, God will give you what you need to wait on him. He's not going to let you hang out there by yourself with your feelings. He will comfort you in whatever way you need to be comforted so you can hang on until he makes the change that you're believing him for. I'm still confident that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. That I'm going to receive his blessing on this side of eternity. This side. And whenever it comes, and however it comes, it's going to be right on time. Now, the only reason and the only way for you to be confident to see the goodness of the Lord is because you have a relationship with